Representing East Oakland, man.
Welcome, welcome back to the Hawk Vision Podcast, guys. I'm your host, Chuck Hawkins, here to help you shorten the learning curve on your way to greatness. Make sure that you like, share, subscribe across all of your social media platforms, especially here on YouTube. More importantly, share this podcast with other visionaries just like you. Before we get started, you know what to do. Take a look in the show notes. You'll see a link to one of my favorite things. You guys have been helping the show grow. Buy your boy some coffee. You know I love it. You can support the show by buying a cup or two. And for those of you that do, if you're a subscriber, as always, you'll get some behind the scenes content. Our guest this week, someone that I am absolutely excited to introduce to you guys, true visionary. She is someone that I have tons of respect for. More importantly, she is actively changing the thought process around Black wealth. Her goal is to help keep the Black dollar in the neighborhood, and she's merged e-commerce with the message to ensure the opportunity has legs. Someone that I believe in, the future of her business is as bright as anything I've ever seen, and I have so much respect for Miss Cecilia Nichols. Welcome to the show.
Hi. I love the intros. I was like, what is my intro going to sound like?
That is so funny. They've become this thing. Like, now there's pressure on me to get everybody's intro right. But you've earned every one of those accolades. It is a pleasure to have you on today.
Thank you for having me, for sure.
Absolutely. So listen, we got to jump right in. You know, my first question, we always talk origin stories, right? My daughter up there is a huge X-Men and Avengers fan. So she's like, Dad, we got to find everybody's origin stories. So what got Cecilia Nichols into entrepreneurship?
So Blackson's actually wasn't my first business. I was an event planner for many years. I still frequent some weddings and things like that, which I love so much. But Blackson's was started by something so random. I was like frustrated. I had my brush and I broke my brush. And I was like, let me go grab another brush. I go to Target and I was like, this doesn't make sense. Like, why am I coming to Target when I can buy a brush from, you know, like a Black Beauty Supply? Let me look around for a Black Beauty Supply. It took me like 30, 40 minutes to find a Black Beauty Supply. It was either on Yelp where it didn't list it. And now Yelp has a whole function now where it says Black owned.
Yes.
Which is amazing. But then it didn't. And I was like, okay, I just want to support a Black business. I just want to buy something I need at a Black owned business. And then I was like, okay, the fact that it took me this long, the fact that it was hard for me to find, I was like, that obviously means that there's a need for this.
Absolutely.
So immediately I started doing research, and that was it. Something so simple. I was like, there's a need. I'm going to work it out.
Yeah. Over it's funny. Henry J. Kaiser, I think, said the definition of finding your way to success is to find a need and fill it.
Yes.
Right. And when you do that, you'll, you know, the money will come, the purpose will come, all those things, find a need and fill it. So I have to ask, though, in doing the research, and we're going to talk about Blackson's shortly, but do you find that it's more so that we don't know that it's that these opportunities exist, these platforms exist, or do we just not do a good enough job in mass of letting the world know we're out there as a Black owned blank?
I think that we don't do enough. I think that just this year, you know, 2020, everyone has been like just leaping out on faith. So everyone is trying to just get their bearings, like, okay, I have this business now, like, what do I do? You know? Yeah. So I think that we're getting better. I live in the city of Compton, and there's so many pop-ups, and they're all Black owned pop-ups, or they're all, you know, this marketplace pop-up. So I think we're doing a better job getting it out there, but I think that we still need to continue to support each other. And that's like the main thing, because it's mindset.
Got it. Yeah. So when you thought about implementing this idea, after the experience, you're searching for a brush, and I have four daughters, so I understand hairs and brushes. It has to be a certain thing. But were you intimidated by the idea? Did you wonder if it already was out there? Like, what were the major concerns or fears about launching?
So definitely, it's so funny because I don't know where we got this from, but other than like prior to 2020, I was scared to label it and go big on it's Black owned. Everything is Black owned. These are Black owned products. And so that was a fear for me, trying to figure out, how do I market this thing? How do I not scare off other people that want to buy it? Because, right. And, you know, and I'm comparing my, what I do to Target. Okay. Well, they don't say it's white owned, right? Come get your white owned product.
Yes. Yes.
But so that was a challenge for me trying to figure that out. I know it's sad.
That is hilarious. I'm sorry that, because you know, the thing that's always like the comeback, right, is that we say black owned, but if they were to say white owned, then there would be an uproar. Yeah. Right. It would be.
Yeah.
So that's funny to me. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I love that.
So I fought with myself on that. I got opinions of people around me and it was a 50-50. So even then I was like, you know, older people would say, oh, well, you don't need to say black owned, you know, you want to appeal to everyone. Right. And so, you know, the younger people, especially like the Gen X, mm-hmm. they were like, no, go for it. Black power, you know, do it. And I'm like, yeah, you know, so I was in the middle and I just, yeah. and I was like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be in the middle with it. I'm going to show pride. I'm going to try to shift the mindsets of our community. But I'm going to say it's black owned. I'm going to be proud that all these entrepreneurs that I'm finding have this product. And guess what? It's black owned.
Yeah.
So, and then I was looking for mentorship. I couldn't really find it, but I did find, We Buy Black. Okay. I don't know if you're familiar. Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely.
So what he's doing in Atlanta is just amazing. Like we just don't have, it seems like we just are slow to get to that here on the West Coast, but
definitely.
That the way their community is structured, it's like, they don't care. It's all about supporting each other. You know what I mean? It's all about keeping the money there and that kind of thing. And so what he's doing, I started really following his story and I'm like, oh man, he's got a big thing going on, started in his living room, you know, and now he's got a factory and these kind of things. And he's really competitive, 1 million+ followers.
Yep.
So yeah. I was like, let's do it.
One of the things that I get a lot of pushback on, both personally and professionally, right? And tell me your thought process on this. I'm a little old school, but not so much. I am a fan of supporting Black businesses. However, my thing is I support good business, right? And so tell me your thought process on that. And is there a difference between saying just leading with I'm a Black owned business and wanting support because you're a Black owned business? Or should we put equal emphasis on the two, right? You have to do good business, right? Yes. Otherwise you get, in my opinion, you get the first sale because you're a Black owned business, but nobody comes back.
Right. Yeah, you do. I mean, that question comes up no matter what, like where the interview is at, that question always comes up. And really I always relate that to like my restaurant experience, right? Because that was like the first type of Black owned businesses that we knew about. Right.
Yes.
So sometimes you'll go to that restaurant. Of course, it's a soul food restaurant, which I would love to see more variety on Black owned businesses. But you go to the soul food restaurant and you just have like sometimes good food, but that rude cashier in the front, you know, or it's just not as tight cleanliness as you'd like, or, you know, just little bitty things. And I think that we have to be open as entrepreneurs to receive positive criticism, you know, and we have to be open to being okay with making changes and trying to like create this good quality of business.
Right.
So, I think it's equal. You have to say, yes, I am a Black owned business, but I have, you know, my values are this, I stand by this, you know, it's, right. I think it's as equal as, if not a little bit more maybe, but yeah, I think.
And we got to stop running out of macaroni and cheese, man. You can't.
Yeah.
The restaurants.
Don't ever.
Oh my God.
Elbows better be large elbows. Don't play with me with the small elbows. Don't listen.
We're on the same page. It's the West Coast in us. But you know? I do agree. Atlanta has like the cheat code right now. I've said that on several episodes. They have a specific something in their DNA in terms of entrepreneurship where the West Coast has always been able to innovate. They've always been able to execute. Right.
Yes.
And so that I think is the difference between the two is we have, and you know, I've had over 100 people on the show. The West Coast has tons of innovators. They have absolutely an equal amount of people that execute at the highest level to the point where I've seen some of my closest friends that are in that entrepreneurial realm, they're going to Atlanta, getting the game and bringing it back, right?
Yeah.
Because I think that the one thing that I love Atlanta for is that they're willing to share. You know, on the West Coast, we're a little bit different.
Yes.
We want to see you make it before,
yes.
before we start do. Supporting, which is, you know, love, hate, interesting, but yeah. it is a thing. How long had you been working on the project before you realized that it was a viable business?
Probably about a year. I had it set up already. It was already established business and I was all in my own way. I mean, like, I was just like, get out of here. And so finally, and I always tell this story. I got up just one day randomly searching on the internet and there was a post that said, "What are you waiting for, sis? Just open the business." And I was just like, "Are you serious?" That was for me. Like, so, and I was like, you know what? That's it. So I was doing a lot of research because going back to that quality, I wanted it to be quality. I wanted it to look a certain way. I wanted it to be, you know, appealing. I wanted to know about e-commerce and shipping. And so I did a lot of research before I actually said, okay, I'm going to open it. Here we go. Right. I researched the businesses. I didn't just pick any random, like, spin the bottle business. I handpicked every business. I try to figure out, okay, what categories do you want? You know, there's a lot of boutique stores. And I was like, yes. Well, let me go away from the clothing first, because I know that we know how to buy clothing. But what about the other stuff and the other people that are working on things that we use every day, like the essentials, like, you know, deodorant and, you know, cleaning products and stuff like that. So I kind of focused on that instead of the clothing.
So I guess let's go backwards, because we've been talking about, you know, you creating this and wanting to launch and all that good stuff. Let's talk about Black Sons. Let the people know what it is and what they can expect, because I do not dare want to compare it to as simple as an eBay, right? You got a seller, you got a buyer, and you meet in the middle and you take a cut. But talk to us about what Black Sons is and the business model from there.
So Black Sons is an online superstore that features the latest and hottest Black-owned products. I keep it simple like that. Basically, what it is we ship directly to our customers. And we also just recently started doing consignment. I think consignment, I was kind of, I don't really want to do consignment. I want to be hands-on. I want to be able to, you know, have the merchandise and send it with my care and love. But I had to step back and say, okay, wait a minute, let me trust these businesses that I've selected, that they're going to ship it, you know, correctly and properly and with pride. So, but it is that. It's a superstore. I want people to be able to put multiple items in their basket. I want people to say, hey, I'm going to get, you know, a toy for my daughter and some hair care products for myself. I'm going to grab a brush and I'm going to get, you know,
back to the brush,
you know, and I want some toothpaste. So that same shopping experience that you have when you go to a Target or when you go to a Walmart, which I don't like Walmart, but anyways, so that same shopping experience that you go through and you're like, oh, I need this, you know, let me get this dish soap. Yeah. And that's what we model on, is just that, is putting multiple items in the cart, putting essentials in the cart plus non-essentials, and then just making sure that we have a wide, like, category of products.
Yeah. So right now, as we're recording, we're getting ready for Thanksgiving, and all you see in the news is they talk about supply chain, right? Mm-hmm. And the issues with a bunch of stuff hadn't been unloaded by the docks, at least here in California, right? Our Oakland dock, everything was still sitting in the water, just floating away. How has that, or has that impacted the business at all?
I've had a few vendors have their products be stuck, you know, at the docks, and they just keep in good communication with you. They don't let you assume that you've paid for this item and you're not going to get it. Most of the ones that have had their products stuck, they communicate weekly. And then if it's a new product that I'm working on, I just promote the product until it arrives, and then we kind of go big, hey, it's here, you know, that kind of thing. But it has affected just a little bit, you know.
Wayfair, you hear that? Constant communication. You tell me my stuff ain't coming yet.
It's so crazy. I don't want to wait 25 weeks for a couch or a
listen, table. I got that's a whole nother episode. I'm not about to get my blood pressure up for this. What is the bigger challenge? Is it pitching to brands to have them featured on your platform, or is it getting the word out that you have a viable option to feature Black-owned products?
Getting the word out for sure. All that I've found is that Black-owned businesses are excited. They're like, yes, take my product. We're excited. A lot of the businesses that I feature, they promote us as well. You know, you can buy here or also purchase, here. Yeah. So there's been nothing but support and just positive things coming from the vendors. So just getting it out there and getting it out there in a way which will entice people, and mostly it's me talking word of mouth. And most of our customers come from a word of mouth customer, So I think that getting it out there is the big challenge, and really just finding those one or two products that are going to bring people in and make them stay.
Got it. So is it time for my shameless plug? Because I did not know. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you guys know about Scotch Porter, but this beard serum is, I have eczema, sensitive skin. And when I tell you, one, I didn't know that they were Black owned, but two, this beard serum is so comfortable. It feels good, so moisturized. And then my wife loves the way it smells. So, that's a whole added perk, right? She'd be like, come here. And so my goal is to have the Rick Ross very soon.
Yes.
With the Scotch Porter. How was that interaction and getting them featured on the site?
Man, it was easy. It was great. Those dudes have a great product. Their value is bringing an affordable men's grooming product just to your fingertips, right. And it's like a great quality product. So, I wish I had a beard. No, I don't wish I had a beard, but
I don't want you to have a beard. I just,
no, but, it was easy. it was easy. I actually use a platform to purchase them, and I sent them a quick email just to let them know. They responded with just like great, thank you so much. And they have a small brand, but it's like gotten big over the last few years. Yeah. And it's a nice quality brand. Like, it's not like, it's a good quality brand. My son uses it, and he loves it. He's got the little Rick Ross thing going on.
So I'm jealous.
He does say that that it smells really good, and it's soft. But some men don't actually realize how much bacteria is like housed in their beard.
Yeah.
So I want to try to find a few different people to just talk about that, because obviously I can't really speak it the way someone that has a beard.
Yes.
But there is a lot of bacteria, and those products that he has, oh man, it's a good product.
Well, I've heard if you happen to need an Oakland-based, extremely handsome podcast host, feel free to reach out. So question for you. I don't need the specifics, but let's talk business model, right? How does this work? How does Blacksons stay profitable? And why did you choose this route instead of maybe, why did you choose the platform instead of maybe just going to be a publicist for these Black-owned brands? What made you choose the way you did?
That's a great question, because I kind of started off that way of doing reviews and saying, I review, and I want to get back to that, by the way. But I think just being able to, I was in the food service industry for 18 years, and it was at like kind of a more fine dining restaurant, not like too fine dining, but fine. It was at Houston's. I don't know if you know about Houston's.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. So the things that they taught us about, guest perception and about, just quality versus quantity and that kind of thing. It's those values that I have, as far as work ethic. And that's what swayed me to say, no, I want to sell it. I want to package it. I want to send it, with pride. It's all about that for me. I'm all about normally just a vibe with somebody. Like, we have a good vibe. We're going to have a good, relationship here.
Absolutely.
So I wanted to bring that to our community. I wanted to bring that to anyone that wanted to purchase from us. Cause believe it or not, I have a lot of like non-Black customers, and they don't care. Yeah. And I wanted them to see, like, look what we can do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's kind of how it was an easy decision for me to make. I actually wanted to start off as a brick and mortar and, also doing the research for that. And that was why it was kind of taking me a little bit longer too, because everything I was doing was going towards that, trying to figure out, funding and business credit and things like that, trying to get it moving. And once COVID hit And I'm watching and I'm like, they shutting everything down. I'm like, these businesses are going out of business.
Yes.
And so it just made it so to where, you know, it's online. Now my end goal is to have a brick and mortar so that I can have like a flagship store where people are like, I'm going to Blackson's. I'm coming to California to go to Blackson's. And that's like a big dream for me. That's something that I want to, you know, obtain sooner than later. You hear me, God? Yeah. But I think that the way that I'm doing it now, learning about, you know, shipping and receiving, learning about the customer experience and sales funnel and all that kind of stuff, I think is teaching me how to be really great once we actually do open. So
Nice. Yeah. So you mentioned that you just started doing consignment. Have you found that consignment is a value add, or is it something that you're using as a means to grab more product to make sure that you have, you know, a good selection to sell?
It's a little bit of both. I mean, I want to feature a lot of products. I want us to be able to go and not just have a few. I really, you know, I want to try to add products every month. So in order for me to do that and not break my bank, I want to.
Yes, that part.
You know, so that's why I started to do consignment, and it just kind of made sense to me because people are excited about it. There's no, you know, there's no like, I can't even think of the word. There's no like, why can't I think of the word? But in other words, they don't have to lose anything.
Got it. You know,
there's no risk. Thank you. Why was it so easy? Like risk, it's four letters. No, so there's no risk for them. You know, we make an agreement on what percentage of profit that I'll make. Yeah. I think the hard part is really trusting. So I always order from the business first. If I go into consignment without me telling them that I'm interested in consignment. And so, I want to test the product. I want to look at their packaging. Like I'm such like, if your label is crooked, I got a problem. I got a problem. It's like walking into a restaurant, you know, and the floor is not swept. So just little stuff like that. Like I want it to be perfection. Because eventually it's not just going to be Black people purchasing from us. It's going to be everyone. Right. And I want everyone to find value in what we're doing. But it starts with us.
That makes perfect sense. A little bit about we talked about money and the investments being, you know, you talked about the partnership having low risk when you do consignment. How much do you invest in yourself in terms of personal growth to reach the levels of success that you've reached so far?
I read a lot. So just finding those books that, you know, talk about everything, you know, sales funnel, you know, business. One book that I've read a few times, I'm not gonna lie, is Powernomics by Dr. Clive.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I don't know. I have read that book a couple times. I want it to not leave my memory. I don't want it to like get like diluted. So I go back to that so that it recharges me. But definitely like, reading books a lot and things like that. I haven't gotten into master classes.
Yeah.
I have not gotten into that. And I did a marketing class I hired them from my local college. And so I worked with them for 17 weeks. And most times I was sitting in the lecture and I'm like, this is amazing. Like I'm getting, you know, a marketing team and I'm getting the knowledge. So it was, that was pretty awesome.
No, I love it. I think that people, we don't, and I won't even say Black people, but I will say in general, we don't put enough emphasis on the personal growth that we need to be effective entrepreneurs. Because what I found is that the things that we learn, whether it's initially for the relationships that we're in or the business that we're in, we can use that on both sides, right? So like, I have learned in my relationship, patience and communication. And so when I put that into my business, you know what I mean? It just makes everything so much better. I like that. I like that. One of my books that I read several times like yourself is Understanding Your Potential by Miles Monroe.
Okay, let me write that down. Hold on.
Understanding.
M-Y-L-E-S?
Yes, Miles Monroe. He is... you know, rest in peace, but he is one of the most effective, he was a pastor, I believe. He was one of the most effective teachers that I've ever saw, just get you to understand the potential of what that dream or what that vision is. And that's even to the point where he has a couple of modules on vision that kind of let that word stick with me for so long. So I'm a big fan of personal growth, as you know. Now, we met on the Fanbase app. You are the first interview that I've had to come from the Fanbase app, which I don't think enough of us are on in the business community. But how did you end up on there? And what have you noticed in terms of potential for the app for people to get paid on their own content?
Yeah. So I was on Clubhouse and I was new to Clubhouse. And it was a little confusing to me because it was very cliquish. So I'm trying to get in there like, hey, let me hang out with you guys. You know, I was kind of making my way around. And I was in a room that Isaac Hayes went into. He started talking about this app and this and that. And I'm like, Fanbase. And so I go in there. I'm like, first of all, it's a Black-owned app. Like, this is amazing. Like,
yes,
the fact that we are busting open technology, the technology field or what have you, industry, I was excited. So I went on there and I'm like, you can get paid for your content. Right. And so immediately it was like a no-brainer to me. I was like, I'm on here. I started going into the audio rooms, which is really exciting because you do kind of create this community. Yeah. I don't think there's enough business conversations on there yet.
Right.
There's a young lady by the name of Krista Jennings, and she's a sales funnel specialist. And every Wednesday she does just a quick room where she has like a few keynotes. It's nothing crazy. It's just simple. She allows people to ask questions, and all these entrepreneurs are starting to flock into her room. There was a point where it was me, her, and two other people.
Wow.
Now, you know, she can have quite a few people in the rooms and they're asking questions and things like that. But I think it's awesome because I've met several entrepreneurs on there, and right now currently working with a few trying to get, you know, their products. There's a guy that sells like this pure kapua butter. I'm probably saying it wrong, but anyway, it's like the fountain of youth, this butter. So anyways, I'm working with him, also another great entrepreneur. And it's a great app. It's a great safe space for us. Yeah. I can't tell a lie that when I post things on Instagram, I kind of like, okay, did I edit it? Is it like, not so offensive? Is it, you know, I mean, I kind of
guardrails.
I'm very like, okay, but on Fanbase, I'm like, let me post this up. You know, let me exercise my blackness with this post, you know, and I don't think twice about what I post over there. You know, although the content is still classy and it's still business driven, I don't think twice about the things that I say on that.
Right.
So just place,
one of the things that I love about it is that it's not only that you can get paid for your content, but it's that you don't have to have a specific requirement, right? You don't have to have 5,000, 5 million followers. You don't have to have, all these hours watched or anything like that. It literally lets you compete from the ground up. Yes. And so one of the things that I think we were in the same audio room one day, and that's how this kind of started. But I bought a shirt from Hitten, the young man that is a very animated young man. But I will tell you, super prompt shipping, great communication. I loved the quality of the shirt. I actually posted a picture of it. So it's an app that will be getting a lot more of the attention of this podcast. I
agree.
Sure. Yeah.
I hosted their first ever pitch contest.
Oh, wow. So, okay.
And so a lot of people have been inboxing me like, hey, you're going to do another pitch. And basically what it was is I allowed people to come on and do their pitch. I had four judges with me. And we selected a winner, and that winner is going to be a featured vendor. I'll be selling their product. Nice. I'll be promoting their business and all that stuff. And it's like, you know, small entrepreneurs that just getting started, so they're not familiar. But there was a young lady on there. She says satin line caps. Her pitch was amazing.
Wow.
And I was just like, your pitch is great. Like, where did you get that information from? It was just, and it was exciting, and everyone was excited about this pitch thing, but they want me to do it again, and I'm okay with that because I didn't feel like it got as much traffic and traction as it should have.
Yeah. I think it's one of those things. We have to put the work in to build the app up. But I'm grateful because I was able to meet you off of that app. You know, if nothing else comes of it, I now know that Blackson's is a place where I can go and get my Scotch Porter beer.
Yes.
Now, what is being an entrepreneur taught you that you wish somebody would have just grabbed you and said, Cecilia, before you start, you need to know this. What is the game taught you so far?
Man, so many freaking lessons. I would say, sheesh. One thing that I didn't like have, or one thing that I didn't start with, was like a full vision of like what I wanted my motto to be. Just recently I started using the slogan of, what you value shouldn't be hard to find.
Wow.
Because that's really was what it was for me. That's how I started, you know? And now I'm trying to incorporate what is value to you, you know? So instead of just posting all the time the product, you know, I'm trying to add value by, you know, having someone talk about the beard and talk about the hair and talk about the different things that we value as Black people, our hair, that skin, you know, you can't be ashy.
Shout out to Kevin Durant's ankles. I don't know if you saw that picture going around there. shout out to Kevin Durant's ankles.
So having a clear marketing path, I think I learned that. Like, I didn't realize that. And that was something that I had to learn along the way. And I'm like, oh, I got it. I get it now. So
what's the best thing that you purchased online in 2021?
Dang, that was a good one. I really enjoyed this lady named Essentially True.
Okay.
She has a feminine care product. And her marketing is just so cute. It's just, you know, you're looking at her Instagram and when you're looking at it, you're like, ooh, you know, it's like kind of offensive, but kind of like, okay.
Right.
She's got a very great packaging, a very clean product, a high quality product. And that's probably been my favorite.
Wow. To be honest. Yeah. I asked that question on Twitter a while back and I did a poll. And the reason that I just asked is because everybody remembers the best thing that they bought. Nobody remembers, as outraged as they are, nobody remembers the worst thing, right?
They don't, huh?
Nobody remembers the worst thing that they bought. You just kind of send it back, get rid of it, fuss for an hour or so, you know, post about it once or twice, and then you're over.
Yeah.
But everybody That's remembers so the true. Best thing that they bought. For myself,
I have to say, I would like to add that my Brandon Blackwood purse.
Oh, okay.
It had me excited.
It had you excited. That's so funny.
I was like, it's here. I shook the box. So I'm gonna say that.
One of the things that when I ran the poll, one of the things that I found is that a lot of people, surprisingly to me, because there's been a lot of pushback on this sell the course culture, right? These online courses. But surprisingly, I think about 82% of the people that responded said the courses were the most valuable thing or the most impressive thing that they bought this year. So my question to you, will Cecilia be selling a course on how to get your online store more noticed?
Wow. That's a great one. I don't know. I had mixed. Okay. So maybe it's because let me just give you some
backstory. Yeah.
Maybe it's because when I first got started and I made a comment of, I haven't really got into the masterclass.
Yep.
Because starting off as an entrepreneur, I was in that area like, okay, do I spend money on marketing or do I spend money on this masterclass? Like, what if it's not going to work for me? What, you know?
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, why are they selling it? And I was like, what, you know, but I'm not knocking their game because people are making hundreds of thousands of dollars with these courses and I'm mad at it. And so I was just kind of like, I just want to be able to people to give me the knowledge for free. Is that wrong with me?
It's not wrong. I think that, you know, it's funny that you say that because I always have this, I have a two-sided argument for that, right?
Okay.
And so on one side, for me, I equate it to church, right?
Okay.
The courses are no different than church. You go every week, you hear the same six messages. At some point, it's going to click for the person that's ready for it to click for, right?
Yes.
But on the other end, somebody wants it and may not be able to afford it. And so I have a love-hate with the internet. I won't even say internet, the Instagram culture of raise your prices, sell the course for more, you know, all this. Like at some point, we have to help the people that are working towards getting to the point where they're even profitable, right? And so I do like free 99, but I understand the value in paying for something because once you pay for it, you pay more attention. Right.
Yes.
Like anybody trying to lose their $1,200 for that course, you know,
and they are $1,200. They don't play games with them
at all. Yeah. Yeah. So I was just asking because I think that, you know, what you've done has been absolutely amazing. And I don't think that there's anybody better to learn from if they're creating, you know, an online store. And, you know, obviously there's tons of resources and there's tons of attack routes to go. But I visited the site and doing the research for the show. And when I tell you the navigation, the drop downs, everything was so on point. I was in my high voice. I was like, look at her. Okay.
Thank you.
I see, you know, and then we got the West Coast going. So,
you know,
had to get that out. Now I have to ask you though, the luxury handbag line. I know my women. Right? Mm-hmm. How hard is it to select luxury handbags, wallets, that type of thing for the site to go on?
Man, it's crazy. First of all, I can't keep the handbags in.
Wow. Okay.
And I started off with a handful and I don't want to overdo it. Right. But we just go handbag crazy. it's hard because I want to be able to have a big variety. I want to be able to have that big bag and that small one and that evening bag. And so it's challenging for me not to do the whole, okay, I'm going to buy this one for me and then I'll get this stuff for you guys. But the handbag thing, I wish I had access to some of these other ones like Brandon Blackwood and Telfar and that. These guys got it locked in.
Yeah.
But it's hard. It's hard to pick that right one or pick, you know, a few good ones. So I try to keep bringing more in every month.
Yeah. I've had my eye on Tote and Carry for a minute as well. So I may have to go ahead and get in.
You know what's funny is I didn't know if they were Black owned because I had been following them in the beginning, the very, very base. But I just don't put their face out there. I didn't know that they were.
Yeah, they are very, very strategic. And it's funny because you see them everywhere. But if you watch, I'm a fan of watching people's content, right? Like just to understand the method of delivery, because it's one thing to plan the content. It's another thing to create the content, plan the content, but then the way that you roll it out and how wide their reach is. Like I have this little, I'm not ashamed to say it. I have this little game that I play on my phone, right, to relax at the end of the day. And you know how you have those digital commercials?
Yes.
They're there too.
Really?
So they have an extremely effective marketing team. And I'm a sucker for great marketing. I think my last two cars I bought because I love the commercials. so it's a thing. Let's get ready for, I have my rapid fire round is coming up. But I have to ask you this question. Three biggest expenses as a business owner right now, what are they? What are you spending your money on?
Marketing, one.
Okay.
That $800 that you have to pay the state of California.
That LLC. Listen. I tell everybody, because you know, Instagram will tell you, you have to start an LLC and you have to do, you better figure out what state you're in.
That's right.
If you're not profitable, California gonna stick you for that $800.
Yes. I mean, thank God they have waived it through the pandemic.
Yes.
But when you first get that bill, you're like, oh, I have to pay it even before I make anything. Like, what?
Yeah.
I'd say marketing for sure. I would say shipping.
Mm.
Shipping is pretty big. And definitely personal growth.
Yeah.
Personal growth.
Where do you wish the three biggest expenses were?
Where do I wish that those three biggest expenses were? That's like a good question. I feel like stumped.
I gotta make sure we have good questions.
I don't mind the marketing thing. Okay. I don't mind paying for the marketing. And I wish that I was like, I want to like the setup of your business, you know, like I basically did everything on my own, you know, setting up all those automations and things like that.
Yeah. Infrastructure. And
So I wish it was there maybe, okay. But I kind of did everything on my own, but,
yeah.
And then number three, I got to give you a number three.
Gotta give me number three.
Where do I wish the biggest expense was? Probably just funding, like, you know, probably, geez, why am I stumped? What is happening?
That is so funny.
Yeah, I mean, like getting the product.
It's the beard. The beard got you. That's what it is.
It's stressing me out. You know what I'm saying? It's stressing me out.
Hilarious.
That's a hard one. Okay.
No, the reason that I asked is because I, you know, like you said, I've had several people on the show, and one of the things that people love to pay is they love to pay. Well, I won't say they love to pay. They enjoy having a big tax bill, right? And a big legal bill. And the reason that they enjoy having a big legal bill and a big tax bill means that they've had great profitable years.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's one of those things where, like, I always tell everybody, I know I'd rather pay luxury taxes than late fees. You know what I mean? Like, that's my thing. But if you have a legal team, that means you're defending, you know, the company name. You got the all of those things. So I think it's just one of those questions that I always like to ask just to kind of figure out, one, where I should be spending some more of my money. But two, what the direction of the company is. So I'll ask you, in the next couple of years, where do you see Blackson's, you know, in terms of the online marketing space?
I want to work on some form of technology that links my platform directly to my consignment platform.
Okay.
And something that takes my, you know, my profit out aside, sends them the order and sends them their profit. As well.
Okay.
And then it automatically ships through them, and just getting that whole thing. I really would love that. Like, I would love that kind of platform, and that's going to spend, that's going to take some money and planning and a whole team of people. And so I actually started putting that in the air and looking around to see what it would take and how much money that would really, really cost. And it's quite expensive, but it's well worth it.
Absolutely. Because once you have that in place, that's like a finite cost, right? It's something that you pay for once or monthly or whatever.
Yeah.
And now that's in place, you know, forever. I think those systems integrations are so key to the point where I was, you know, it's funny, we talked about the fan base app and I was saying, I wish we could do XYZ. And their customer service was actually really good. They responded same day. And we're like, you know, we're actually working on something to that effect. So I am a fan of, you know, everybody always jokes with me and they say I'm low tech, high check, right? Because I don't have the time, patience to be figuring out no app, no tech, no nothing. Like, I will pay somebody to do all of that. So I want to push a button. I want the money coming. I want this automated. You know, I don't want no headaches. You ready for the rapid fire round?
Let's get it.
All right. So you know how this goes. I am going to give you a word. You tell me the one thing or the phrase or the sentence that pops into your head when you hear this phrase. Ready?
All right.
When Cecilia Nichols hears the words group economics, what pops to mind?
Recycling dollars.
Awesome. Leverage.
It's rapid fire, right?
Yeah.
leverage. Goodness. Helping each other. Group up economics. I'm going to go there.
Perfect. Perfect. What about execution?
Perfection and detail.
Vision.
Prayer and lots of dreams.
Love it. What about legacy?
That it's inspiring and it's a goal.
Awesome. So the question that I didn't ask you, that I'm sure you've been asked a million times, where did the name come from?
I was actually really inspired in a, I was actually really damaged and traumatized by George Floyd's death. And it was also one of the things that lit my fire, really. And I wanted to honor my son, my Black son. Mm-hmm. I wanted to honor so many Black sons and Black daughters that have died at the senseless hands of some sort of police brutality or otherwise. Yeah. So in honoring them, I named it Black Sons, Black Son.
I love it. I love it. It's one of those, when I found out why you named it, you know, Black Sons, I was like, you know, I walked that fine line. I was like, cheesy, but I absolutely understand it. And it meant so much because, you know, I have all girls, but I tell my wife all the time, the name dies with me. Right. Like I'm the last of, you know, the Hawkins men on my father's side. Of course, we have one. Oh, actually, no, there's one other. But I understand what that legacy means for your name to keep going. And so the more I thought about it, the more I focused on it, I was like, that's perfect. That's absolutely perfect.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So let me ask you this. Out of all of the things that you've done, as a mom, as an entrepreneur, as a business owner, as a connector, when you look back at your legacy so far, what does Cecilia Nichols think of her accomplishments?
I think that I have a lot more to go, but I think that this, I'm gonna tell you this, I don't know if it has anything to do with anything, but when my son graduated from college,
yes,
I experienced a level of emotion that I had never experienced before. And it was my goal for me to give that back to him. Like, I want him to feel this proud of something that I've done.
Yeah.
And so opening this business, it did that. It was, you know, I sat down with him and I explained to him what I wanted to do. And he was just silent. You know, he didn't say anything, just listening. And my son's 28.
Okay.
And he was like, wow. And it inspired him to become an entrepreneur and to do things. And now he's like, hey, Ma, I got a hat for you to put on the site. I'm like, okay. And it's like his hat. It's from his company, his branding. Yeah. And so I think that's huge. And I think that opening, starting this business made him proud. And that to me is everything.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Who's the dream collaboration?
Who is the dream collaboration?
Mm-hmm. In terms of product to feature or a person to work with, who's the dream collab?
Definitely. Who's the dream collab? I'm going to say freaking Telfar or Brandon Blackwood. They have done it. They're just creative and innovative, and they're selling the same. Telfar sells the same freaking purse every month.
Same
purse.
Yeah.
You know, and now just recently he started, you know, branching out, but definitely that would be something huge.
I love it. There's a message in that branding, right? And creating, I don't know how long they've been in business, but if you watch their story, they've been doing it and they kept doing it when nobody was looking. You know, and I think that's the thing that we have to learn to do, is that the adulation and the credit and the aha moment is found when nobody's looking, and we got to keep doing that work, because that's when a lot of people quit. If we're being honest as entrepreneurs, that's when a lot of people quit.
Yes.
And I don't know if you've seen that meme where the guy's, you know, with the pitchfork and he's digging through the dirt or whatever, and he gives up. And the diamonds are like right there. They're like right. If he had swung like two more times, he'd have found all his diamonds. And then you find the guy that kept going and, you know, looks at him like, why'd you quit? You know, and he goes in, he finds all the diamonds. And I think that we have to learn to, you know, that 10,000 hour Malcolm Gladwell rule. We have to learn to keep going and figure out, you know, those little idiosyncrasies. I don't even know if that's the right word, but it felt good. Those little parts where we can improve along the way. And just to know, you know, that we have the supportive community, people like yourself that are out there doing the work, you know, and not giving up. I have no doubt that you'll get there. And if not, they'll be knocking at your door to be on the site.
Thank you so much. That's my goal. I love that.
Absolutely. So let everybody know where they can find you online and what's next.
So you can find me online at www.blaxsons.com, which is BLAXSONS.com. What's next is just adding some great products to the site at this point. We do have a Black Friday sale. We did it from the 22nd of November through the 27th of November. It's the last sale of the year. So take advantage of what we have, you know, what we put up there. We put some great products up there. We try to hit every category for kids, men's, women. So yeah, take a look, check it out. Everything's 30% off under the Black Friday sale, and just keep on watching us.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been rocking with the great one, Miss Cecilia Nichols of Black Sons, and yours truly, Chuck Hawkins, here at the Hawk Vision Podcast. We've been talking about launching businesses, e-commerce, mindset, and so much more. I hope the interview was informative. I hope we added a smile to your day. But most importantly, we hope we helped you shorten the learning curve on your journey to success. Buy your boy a coffee. You know how it goes. By the end of the show, I'm out. Like, share, subscribe across all of your platforms. Send in your messages and your guest suggestions. Cannot continue to grow the show without you, my visionaries. I am so appreciative that you gave us some time today. You know how it goes, guys. There's absolutely no miracle that will happen without someone doing something. We'll see you either at the top or from the top. Miss Cecilia Nichols, thank you so much for joining the show.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.